This is Talk Star Wars,
the official podcast of talkstarwars.co.uk.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Talk Star Wars, the official podcast of talkstarwars.co.uk. I'm Mark.
I'm Stephen.
And I'm Rob.
And the rule of two has been abolished. WISA 3 again. Do you see what I did
WISA
there?
Yeah.
I'm so impressed with myself. I apologise.
You should be. You mentioned the...
I did.
We can't speak his name.
There is something... We need to touch on something prequel related later on.
Okay.
Yeah, we got a jam-packed, a gosh golly jam-packed schedule this evening. So I think we're probably... Let's just do a quick catch-up and then we can dive into it.
Right.
Steve, welcome back.
Hello there.
We missed you last week, mate.
Yeah. I know. I don't even remember what I was doing. It wasn't non here talking about Star Wars, that I do know.
No.
Yeah, we
noticed.
That's definitely true. And there's historical record of this.
It's all out there in the ether.
Five without me. Yeah.
We just about scraped by, mate. People missed you, though.
Yeah.
Well,
Rob, how's your week been?
Good. It's been all right. It's been a kind of... I've been ploughing through video backlog for reasons that are quite dull and not worth going into. But basically, I've had a fire lit under me for getting through what I've been working on. Thankfully, I'm seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm almost through my entire video backlog just in time to make some more, so that'd be nice.
You've been doing some reading as well, mate.
Reading? I have, yes. You saw that tweet then?
I saw it, indeed.
Yeah, finished it on the train into work this morning.
It's good, isn't it?
It's brilliant. It's really, really good.
Steve, we're talking about Bloodline, the new book.
Oh, yes, we mentioned that a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's really good.
I forgot to mention, Mark, that I've started doing videos again on my own YouTube channel, Calistine.
Oh, superb.
And I've finished the... Hopefully, I've applied to Guinness for a world record on the insect hotel I've just built.
Yeah, did you get a final number on your holes?
3,948 holes.
Wow.
All drilled in... I did it in about 15 hours over about a week. I did it like an hour and a half.
Blimey.
That's a lot of work, isn't it?
Oh, my God. I burnt out so many drills. If you're interested, just go on YouTube and put biggest insect hotel and you'll see it there.
Yeah.
But I appreciate all the watches I can get.
I've seen it, and it's really impressive.
Yeah, I had a look at one of the videos. I don't know if I've seen them all. I've definitely seen at least one of them. Because you've done it in four parts, right?
Yeah, it's the latest one.
I think I might have seen the latest one. I'm not 100% sure. I've definitely seen some of them.
About halfway through, I thought I'd bitten off more than I can chew here because I had calluses. Oh, the drill burnt out. Oh, I got electrocuted.
Wow.
It was not fun.
All to build a little geonosis in your back garden.
Yeah, I had repetitive strain injury from like the pillar drill going up and down.
Oh,
but it's all done now, so please go in there and support me. I need all the watches I can get because it's all for charity.
And reconstructive charity surgery.
Yeah. If you're listening to this on YouTube, there will be a nice little card pops up to Steve's channel now.
Oh, yeah.
See, that is.
The future is here.
Yeah, it's amazing. Right, let's get into some Star Wars shape things, shall we?
Let's do Star Wars stuff.
In our little announcement section this week, we've got a couple of really important birthday boys, Mr. George Lucas, and today, as we record, is Peter Mayhew's birthday. So, happy birthday, gentlemen. It was the creator's birthday.
Nice, that's pretty good.
That was good. It was George's birthday on Saturday. So
that was George Lucas, that wasn't Chewie.
That was a terrible George Lucas, then.
Yeah, I have to pick you up on a little thing. You actually said merry birthday. It's a subtle, it's an accent thing, but no, you did good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more of a regional dialect, Steve.
Yeah, it's a dialect thing, yeah. It's just,
Google Translate, mate.
And this, yeah, so well, happy birthday to them both.
Yes, happy birthday to the esteemed gentleman.
Right, we've got a couple of little thank yous to put out as well. Thank you to Paula McCluskey and thank you to Daniel Palmer for becoming Talk Star Wars supporters this week by taking advantage of our subscriber program. More details on how you can get involved with that later on. Thank you very much. It's greatly, greatly appreciated.
I don't think people realise, because obviously when you've got a few thousand regular listeners, people think, oh, they must be earning money. And Ryan, we've mentioned this before. but it costs you, particularly because it's your site, it costs you hundreds and hundreds to run, and you get barely a fraction of that back. So, like, any support like this is just awesome.
Yeah,
I feel like I should be playing soft violin music here.
Just,
like,
just a small violin,
just,
yeah.
Just £2 a month. Or...
I mean, you definitely do it for love.
But, I'm going to put a video of me on online in slow motion, black and white.
Can we please do that? That sounds incredibly funny.
This man needs a new home.
I will happily narrate it for you if you just give me what... Just I'm like, I'll do anything. I'll record anything.
We know you will.
You'll do anything for money. We know that.
We can have you sitting at the side of the road in a Jedi smock with a hand cut off with
in the
a
rain.
Sign saying...
Mark, can we please do this?
We'll force push for food.
Yeah, please.
We're wandering dangerously close to After Dark Side territory, so...
Yeah. We're also wandering dangerously close to somebody stealing our idea, so let's... Yeah.
Let's cut all of that out.
Leave some surprises, yeah.
All right, so thank you, Paula, and thank you, Daniel, for your contributions. It's greatly appreciated.
Very much so, thank you.
And also, like, to just one last thing in announcements, just like to welcome Chris White to the Facebook page. Growing slowly.
Welcome, Chris.
But we're going to give any, as long as it's manageable, we're going to give everybody that joins our Facebook group or our Facebook page a personal welcome. So thank you, Chris. Greatly appreciated. Good to have you on board,
welcome,
mate.
Welcome, Chris.
All right.
Welcome.
Some reviews. Rob, cool. Over to you, old chap.
All right, mate. Did you want me to do the little announcement at the beginning as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, go on. No, you do that, mate. Go on.
Yeah?
Enjoy.
All right, so this is one of those awesome pieces of news that I think anybody who appreciates podcasts will understand why this is so cool, right? So we are now officially a 5-star rated podcast on iTunes because enough of you wonderful, wonderful listeners took the time and the energy to go on iTunes and give us reviews. So we are so, so grateful for that. That is awesome.
Deeply
thank you
grateful.
Very, very
thank
much.
Thank you very much for that.
And two such reviews are new this week. One is from Delski. Hello, Delski. If you're a fan of Star Wars, you'll love this podcast. Presenters who have real passion for the media, in-depth discussions and thoughtful speculation, news and loads more. One of my favorite podcasts. That's
amazing.
Wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah, that is great. Really high praise and kind words. Thank you, Delski.
And Adolf Hitler next, isn't it? Oh, no.
No, it's Ad Cilia.
I need to put my glasses on.
You do.
Really do.
Ad Cilia, friend of the show.
Yeah, and also keep up with the news, because that dude is dead.
We don't know that.
I think we're fairly sure at this point. Anyway, Ad Seven Hillier writes, now witness... Do you want me to
Palpatine it up? Yeah. Or Palpacino it?
God, that's asking a lot.
I'm Palpatining it up, okay. And Palpacino will have to be saved for special occasions, I'm afraid, because it is very hard on my voice. Not that Palpatine isn't, to be honest. Right, let's... Now witness the power of this fully operational battle podcast. Station.
That's super.
If you like Star Wars, then you'll love listening to Mark, Steve, and Rob discuss the latest news, theories, and general happenings in our favorite galaxy far, far away. Get on it. The Force is strong with this one. It's a wrap!
What a nice couple of comments. That's brilliant.
That's awesome, isn't it?
It's really great. Thank
I like
you,
the
Ed.
Way Ed's is using our sign-off catchphrase as well. That's something pretty cool.
It's wonderful.
That's great. Well, we haven't heard the last from Ads, because in listener comms, our first comment is from Ads as well on Twitter, at Adsilia. He's written, thanks, Mark. Hi, Mark. Thanks for dealing with the mammoth question on the last podcast. It'll be good to hear the three of you discuss part two. I think, actually, we did part two last week, didn't we?
Yeah.
Of Ads' question, so he's thrown us another one, I think. As always, hearing you guys consider various theories has resulted in more questions, this time regarding...
To me, slippery slope.
Ugh, not the lightsaber again.
Yeah, the lightsaber again. Regarding Anakin's lightsaber again, I have a follow-up query. We understand that Anakin is a child of the Force, possibly the first one. More on that from me later. Therefore, his lightsaber is unique, as it would have been the only one to have been created by a child of the Force. Does this make it more powerful than other lightsabers? And as Darth Vader, he uses it still initially in Revenge of the Sith, and then after the battle with Obi-Wan, he loses it. Right, this is something I'm going to address immediately. Ads carries on. I believe his replacement, the red lightsaber, was created for him by the Emperor. So, importantly again, not him. Therefore, The blue one, I believe, is unique. Darth Vader created the red one himself. I did some research after I read Ad's question, and
okay,
it wasn't the Emperor that created it. The Emperor may have created the synthetic crystal that's in it, but Vader actually built the lightsaber himself, according to the Star Wars wiki.
That is indeed canon.
Yeah, that is canon. So, I don't know. This, I think there might be something to what Ad's is saying about the crystal, because the crystal called to the child, to him, the chosen one.
Yes.
And the synthetic crystal inside the red lightsaber has got no properties other than creates that blade. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to his question.
Okay.
Obviously, the Skywalker lightsaber calls to Rey, who may also be a child of the Force, which I firmly believe.
Potentially.
It would be great to have your thoughts on this. Promise I'll try and think of a non-lightsaber-related question in the future. As ever, superb shows and keep up the good work. Thank you.
Promises, promises.
Is that the same lightsaber? That's Darth one. That's the one that you could control the length on?
Yes.
I heard about this. Did we talk about this? Maybe we did.
Maybe.
What's that, sorry?
You can control the length on that one, can't you?
It says you can alter the blade on the wiki. I don't know if that necessarily means the length or the thickness or...
Yeah, girth. I don't know. Girth. I'm not sure, but I should have broken this question down, really, and I haven't, so I've failed myself. But do we think this lightsaber, the Skywalker lightsaber, is calling to Rey specifically because she's a child of the Force? Is that what's happening with that crystal?
Steve, do you want to take this one first?
It's an interesting concept. It's all feasible to me. I mean, especially this is Anakin's we're talking about, right?
This is Anakin's, yes.
Yeah, I think that sounds perfectly feasible to me. I mean, especially he is a child of the Force and he's made it by hand, and we still don't know the exact nature of her relationship with him and or Luke or anyone else. So it's feasible, I guess.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Rob, what's your take?
My take is, I think what the lightsaber represents, I think, is on the one hand, it's easier to wield no matter your power in the Force. Obviously, more powerful Force users can wield it more easily. But I think the fact that it's so built by somebody who's so powerful in the Force maybe makes it easier to work with, which would also explain why Finn could wield it semi-comfortably.
Yeah.
But he's had some training in weapons of that nature. He hasn't, you know, lopped one of his arms off or anything like that during the course of the film. So it makes me wonder if there's something to that, where like the lightsaber is sought after because it's
the Swiss watch of lightsabers.
It's more easily wielded.
Maybe that crystal has some sort of, you know, sort of ethereal kind of.
Yeah.
Well, that was my take on it. I like where Rob's coming from, that this might be the engineering that's gone into the Skywalker lightsaber was guided by the Force, so it's the perfect design. It's well balanced and it's the right size and everything.
Yeah, but on the downside, I think it's probably cursed.
Well, that's what I've used that term a lot. I think I mean narratively cursed rather than in universe.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think that's definitely. I think I would use that same distinction.
Yeah,
I mean, you have different grades of like diamond. You've obviously got different grades of these crystals because we know that because of Kylo's one is fractured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so is this like the purest crystal out there?
That's entirely possible.
And it's kind of it processes the Force more purely. Maybe.
The way I read this, the in-universe explanation for how the Jedi come across their crystals. It seems to me like the crystals select, almost like Harry Potter's wands, you know, the crystal selects the Jedi, so the Padawans are called to, and then they have this experience with the crystal before it goes into the weapon. So the fact that it's called to Anakin, a child of the Force, and then it's calling to Rey points being a child of the Force. That is, I think, what we're seeing. Maz's reaction is very much built around that.
Yeah,
interaction between Rey and the lightsaber is realizing. Well, this called to Anakin. Now it's calling to you. This is significant.
I think her emphasis on that
is significant.
Whether she's a child of the Force or not, I think that's definitely true.
Yeah,
I just hope that they have sort of read into this like we are, and there is some intention there and deliberation, and you know, and it is actually a story behind like that we've suggested, because that would be awesome, wouldn't it? And I hope it just doesn't get sort of budged over and not talked about, because that's the kind of stuff that makes this really interesting.
Yeah, I hope they also don't gad. I don't mind them going in a similar direction to the Harry Potter One Chooses the Wizard stuff, but I hope they're not so overt with it that they are in the Harry Potter universe.
Yeah, it has to be subtle, doesn't it?
Yeah, it can't be like, oh, the saber chooses the Jedi, because they'll just get laughed out of the cinema.
Yeah.
Because people just go, oh, yeah, just like Harry Potter.
They've never taken any time to address that, have they? There might be something that they'll be able to, information they can decant in Luke's training of Rey.
Sure, yeah.
You might be able to tell that story.
I wonder if the... like if the crystals aren't some sort of tuning fork and they kind of focus the force from the universe around the Jedi into a more focused, if you're holding that lightsaber, it's kind of focusing your force ability and the force into you.
I seem to recall the Legends canon making that very much kind of implied in previous works. So like some of the novels and stuff, especially the ones that center around people either building their own lightsabers, a lot of the stuff that centers around the Jedi Academy era when Luke's first starting to take apprentices and teach them Padawans rather and sort of improve their force skill, there's a lot of implication that that's the case. So it's entirely possible.
So it's like a lightsaber is almost like where humanities meet science. It's like spirituality meets science in that one iconic weapon, isn't it?
And you can see it in some of the films and some of the TV work and things like that, where people, the best kind of fighters, almost have an extension of their arm. You know, it's almost an extension of one of their limbs. They can just wield it so effortlessly.
Like
Obi-Wan's great for that.
Yeah, that's good. Well, hopefully we've covered some of those elements there. That I don't mean to be dismissive of the Darth Vader lightsaber, but I think with regard to it wasn't built by the Emperor, it was built by Vader, and I don't think it has any of the spiritual elements that the Skywalker lightsaber had. The only thing I believe is that Kylo salvaged that crystal for his own weapon.
Okay.
Right. Should we move on to Anthony's email?
I will. If you'd like to fluff it for a couple of seconds, because I've scrolled down right through the notes.
Oh, yeah, I see why you've done that, yeah.
Do you want me to just jump straight?
Jenkins via email, yeah.
That's it.
So I reckon that there will be crucial information and plot points in Rogue One that directly impact Episode 8. Think about who is directing Episode 8 and his ability to tell an excellent story running both in the past and the future. And then Looper mentioned in brackets. Mm-hmm. I reckon Rogue One is going to be far less standalone than they are making us believe. More on this in my Stoke theory later. That's you, Mark, isn't
it? That's me, sorry. That was italicised, but it didn't survive the pasting in process.
Yes, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, there's just one more bit after that.
Steve. Oh, sorry, yeah, I should also add, keep up the great podcasting. I'm enjoying it a lot. Thank you very much. Although, let's get one thing straight. The prequels suck. You should tell the new guy. D-Rob, Anthony hath spoken.
All right, well, Anthony, if you're listening, that's
the user,
fine.
You're always right.
You are very welcome to feel that way. And to be clear, I've never said that all of the prequels are great. I just love them because they're Star Wars.
Yeah.
Anthony is a listener, and they're always right by default. So
that's fine.
I almost didn't put that second part in. I thought I'd give Rob a free pass on that one, but
that's fine.
I like that.
I'm a big boy, Mark. I can handle myself. That's
all
right.
You're certainly not the new boy anymore.
Well, that's it.
The thing that I've learned by talking to you guys is that the actual stories in the prequels are not bad. If you read the book, my God, I wish they'd make a film of this.
Yeah.
It's all the horrible acting and the awkwardness and the overlong scenes and not moving cameras and all that stuff. That's what ruined it. The actual stories are great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were marred. They definitely had their issues, but I would argue that Return of the Jedi had its issues. And what film is perfect? What film is perfect?
Empire.
Avatar.
As near as damn
Empire, it. Empire Strikes Back.
Empire's pretty bloody good.
Yeah.
I need to just address that. Let's just address that mid paragraph that I reckon Rogue One is going to be far less standalone than they're making us believe.
I think he's right.
I've made a note there to say more on this later in my Snoke theory because.
Okay.
initially, I thought, when I read Anthony's email, I thought, I thought standalone means standalone. Rogue One sets up A New Hope. I can't imagine there being anything that would leak over into Episode 8. But as I was putting together this new theory about the Snoke origin, I started to think, actually there might be something that ties the two together, which is about Anakin's trying to repair his body using the Force and the Bacta. So that remember those. We'll come back to that when we do the Snoke thing later on. But I think that might be an element that Anthony sort of hit on here, that they'll sow the seeds in Rogue One that this is a part of canon, and then in Episode 8 they might expand on it a little bit with the Snoke origin. But
I mean, other than a flashback in Episode 8 to sort of flesh out Snoke's backstory, this is the perfect opportunity to do it, isn't it?
Yeah.
So why not? I've got the opportunity to build a history that wasn't there with the original three.
Yeah. We need to be clear that Pablo has said that Snoke is nowhere near Rogue One. He has said that categorically.
Yeah, but they've lied before.
But I do think that... I don't think they're going to lie again. But, you know, I wouldn't rule it out. But I think that there might be... they'll introduce mechanics that can set up an explanation in... You know, they'll introduce a language for us, elements. You know, like in Episode 5, we started seeing Luke use telekinesis, which we hadn't seen in A New Hope. That was a new thing. And so I think they might... So the seed in Rogue One for something new, like Anakin trying to heal himself with the Force, and then that'll pay off in Episode 8 when Luke explains to Rey how Snoke has survived all these years.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's where we're going with that. But we'll talk about that a bit more later. So,
all right.
Yeah, Anthony, thanks for your email.
Yeah, thanks, Anthony.
We look forward to hearing from you again, because that's some really interesting stuff that you brought up there.
Yeah.
Okay, Rob, do you want to take this email from the Philippines?
Yeah, sure. Okay. So this is from Car Rolding. Hi, guys. I'm Carl from the Philippines. I've been listening to your podcast for a while now, and I must say I've become a big fan. You have great taste, Carl. In your latest episode, Scruffy-Looking Nerf Herders, you theorized about Han Solo's abandoned shipment for Jabba. Han Solo's abandoned shipment for Jabba were slaves, which you were supposed to deliver to the Empire. I think this is a nice theory, and it puts the event in a different light, and it certainly speaks much of Han being inherently heroic and not just a greedy smuggler who doesn't much care about anything or anybody. Uh-huh. The only problem about this theory is that it's been established, or I think it had, that he dropped the shipment, in Greedo's words, at the first sign of an Imperial cruiser, which probably rules out the Empire as the intended recipient of the shipment. I think the slavery angle still works, though, and I'd love to see that explored in the planned Han Solo movie. On another somewhat related note, Chewbacca was bound to Han on account of a life debt, presumably after Han saved Chewie from slavery. That's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. I think we did cover that one at the time, Carl's absolutely right. This is an intro to the next bit of the question. So I thought that was a statement in itself. If this is an honor code strictly adhered to by Wookiee culture, I'm wondering why wasn't this the case with the child Wookiee saved by Ezra in the first episode of Star Wars Rebels? Or for that matter, all of the Wookiees liberated by the Ghost crew in that episode. Any thoughts? Sorry for the long email. Please keep up the good work, and I look forward to future episodes. Car. Thank you very much, Car.
Yeah, thank awesome. You, Car. Nice to know we've got people listening in the Philippines. That's exciting.
That's a wonderful country. I've been there. I love the Philippines.
Superb.
I'm a big Asia fan.
But the band?
Asia. Anyway. That too, yeah. Yeah, lay down your arms. Why not? So is it? Yeah.
Oh, someone's just gone past on a speeder bike.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, sorry about that. There's not really much I can do about the flat. Short of start firing out like a Tusken Raider.
Doing a scream.
Okay, so let's break this down. So, first question. Was Han's story about the Empire causing him dumping his cargo even true? This supposes that the whole Empire are corrupt, but at this point in the story, the Senate's still a thing, so Palpatine doesn't have the control he would later. What do you guys think?
You actually misread that name, I think, Rob.
Sorry.
Palpacino.
Palpacino, sorry.
Oh. Ooh-ah. Come on now. No, I think, yeah, what I've probably led with that breakdown there a little bit. What's Han's story? Yeah, so Carr is asking, or is questioning the theory, saying that Greedo mentions that he dropped the shipment at the first sign of an Imperial cruiser, suggesting that if the shipment was destined for the Empire, Han would have got an itchy trigger finger at the sight of an Imperial ship. But the next point was the first part of my explanation, which was this supposes that the whole Empire are corrupt. So at the time that Han would have jettisoned that cargo that got him into trouble with the Hutts, the Imperial Senate was still in place, which means that most of the Empire had to be above board.
Yes.
And that had to be doing things legally. So if you assume that whatever the ship that Han encountered was essentially like a police force, and underneath it's the bureaucrats that are corrupt, so they would have seized the cargo, not knowing it was destined. If it might have been slaves, they wouldn't have known it was destined for them, because they're just doing their stuff legally.
Normally.
It wasn't until midway through A New Hope that the Emperor dissolved the Imperial Senate, and then he takes over a complete and absolute rule, doesn't he? So I've used that as my explanation for supporting our theory, essentially.
You've kind of gone down the same route as I did. My kind of take on it was going to be, even if you factor that out, because actually I think having heard you just explain that, that makes even more sense than my theory. My theory was, do we even know that that's true in general?
Yeah. You
know, because it strikes me that it's a question of what Han Solo values more. His reputation with a group of people he doesn't particularly like dealing with, which is to say the Hutts and the sort of scum and villainy portion of the galaxy, or does he value his honor more? You know, so if he values his ethics and his honor more than that, more than he does his reputation with the Hutts, then he will say any old model to get himself out of the situation. And also, we're kind of going to get, a sense of where the bravado and stuff comes from. And if he's convinced he's going to be able to make the money up later again, he'll say anything, because he'll just say, it doesn't matter, I'll sort it out later.
Yeah.
And he's convinced he can get the money back. So his reputation doesn't matter, because he can fix it.
Yes.
That was my kind of take on it. But actually, your idea of the whole kind of, you know, the almost like the glacial empire, where sort of above the surface, it's all above board, and then below, there's much more kind of nefarious stuff going on, makes much more sense. And actually, I think the idea of Chewbacca being part of that group of slaves would even, you know, would tie nicely into that.
Yeah.
Maybe they were Twi'leks. Is it Twi'leks? What was the slave dancer? The Ula
yeah,
was it?
Yeah,
Twi'leks.
That's it, yeah.
Maybe they were Twi'lek slaves, and because Jabba's been feeding them to the Rancor too much.
Yeah.
Well, he was actually importing them, was he?
That's interesting, because Mark, you've read Bloodline.
Yeah,
that's really interesting, because they talk a lot about how the world of Ryloth, which is where the Twi'leks come from,
were
just despise the Hutts.
By the Hutts.
Yeah.
Steve, that's well genius.
But there you go. Without having any knowledge of Star Wars, I figured the whole thing out.
Well, there you go. Just as a week off.
You've been a lucky man up until this point, Steve.
Swoops back in all the answers.
Coruscant? Oh, yeah. Just missed it.
Coruscant. So what do we think about the second part of Carr's question? And why didn't the Wookiees in Rebels swear a life debt to the crew of Ghost when they were liberated?
My answer's really boring. So, Steve, you got anything?
That's interesting.
Well, are you sure? Because I sort of said the opposite. My answer's really boring.
No, not your, but I was just reading back.
Oh, right.
Sorry, yeah. I didn't hear. I think I broke down for a minute.
So the second part of the question is about Rebels. So why didn't they touch on the life debt angle in Rebels? What do you think?
I have absolutely no idea. I'm still pontificating.
So I'm not far away from that actually myself, Steve, because I've watched this. I saw that episode of Rebels where they saved the Wookiees, and there was no sign of that. The boring answer, which I suspect might be yours, Rob, is it was an oversight on the part of the writers.
That's part of it, yeah.
And they didn't know that there was going to be emphasis placed on the life debt thing later on.
Maybe. I mean, it's been in the legends for ages.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's ever been explored in any significant depth in canon.
No,
I
mean, and Hans thing himself, like the discussion he's having with Greedo about dumping the cargo and that, that's nothing. There's nothing in canon about that, is there?
Not that I know of, no.
So that's
certainly
probably
not now.
It's undermining our own show here, but it wouldn't surprise me if it's incidental. It was at the time very incidental.
Oh, could well be, yeah.
But they're going to use it now, perhaps, and elaborate.
They just needed a debt to be paid, didn't they? It doesn't necessarily, at the time, it didn't have to be like, it could have been gambling, it could have been, but cargo made the most sense because it was a gangster.
Yeah. No. I mean, it could just be this thing with the
Wookiees.
Rebels is the word I was looking for, which is written right in front of me, so I don't know why I was struggling with it. it could be simple. I think it's probably an oversight on the part of the writers, or they thought, we want to see our heroes be heroes, but we can't have them carting around a whole pack of Wookiees.
That was my other thought on it. It's just 20 minutes is not enough time to cover it in much depth. Plus, you'd also have to, if you think about it, take it to its kind of logical and a bit of a grim conclusion, you'd have had to kill off a Wookiee.
Yeah.
In a Disney XD cartoon.
Yeah, which is going to be a bit of a problem. And it could be also different. That these Wookiees are, the ones in Rebels were civilian Wookiees that have been collected up and enslaved. And we already know that Chewbacca was a bit more of a diplomat, or he was high ranking, because in Revenge of the Sith, he was up there with the other, what's the other Wookiee's name? Is it Bonzo the Great or something?
Why not?
He was up there with
Bonzo the Doodah Band.
That's him. He was up there in the treehouse with Yoda and Bonzo.
Yeah.
Doing the whole emissary thing. So perhaps he's a little bit more duty bound because he's a serviceman, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's all stuff. I mean, there's a book coming out in July called Life Debt. So maybe that'll explore it a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that's there's a good chance that's going to do so, because I had a look at the synopsis today, because I've been, since I read Bloodline, I've been looking to see if I can get more Star Wars books fixed. Plus, I got vouchers for my birthday. Yeah, proper canon ones. And to be honest, if I see a good price on one that's Legends, I'll still buy it.
Yeah.
If I've read it and it sounds interesting.
Yeah, my brain doesn't work like that. I can only go in one direction.
Fair enough. With the Life Debt one, it's about Han Solo helping Chewbacca to liberate Kashyyyk, so I don't know how, where it's set in the timeline.
After Jedi, I think.
After Jedi, I wonder if it's after Bloodline.
I think it's because, the road to Force Awakens. Yeah, it might be.
My understanding was that Bloodline painted Kashyyyk as very much a Chewbacca having a very kind of charmed life by then, so maybe it's either just before that point or just after.
Yeah.
Who knows?
It'd be worth
we'll find out
into.
Soon.
I think I'll probably get that and read it.
I think I probably will too.
Carr, I'm sorry we can't give you a more finely tuned answer than that on the Rebels thing. I just think that there might be the practical reason is the writers may not have been focused on that enough, and it just didn't suit their long-term needs to have Wookiees as part of that show. And and the other, I suppose the closest I can come to an in-canon explanation is that Chewbacca's got some sort of service.
Yeah,
honor. He's honor bound because he's a serviceman in some ways, a diplomat or something on Kashyyyk. So,
yeah,
perhaps that's the difference. Anyway, thank you, Carr, for your email. And I must just point out, Carr's an incredible artist. I saw in his email sign off that he sent a link to his DeviantArt page, and it's
just
amazing.
On it now. Actually, it's really bloody good.
Yeah, so head over to carlrolding.deviantart.com. And check out some of his art there. And Carr, if you ever want to do cover art for the podcast, send it my way and I'll use it, mate. Brilliant. Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for writing in this week. There's some really great stuff in there.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
Yeah. No Connor Corner this week, unfortunately. Didn't hear from Connor in time to get it in the show notes. Boo and hiss.
He was obviously expecting his invite to join the cast.
It didn't come through. I'm just checking my email now to make sure that it hasn't come through. After we started recording, no, it hasn't. Okay. All right, we didn't think we were going to have a Connor Corner this week. But
it's a trap!
Connor missed his deadline, but fortunately we were still recording, so we're going to go back, record this, and we'll splice it in. You won't even notice, apart from this clumsy little segue. So, Connor's question. Can you see it in the notes?
Yep.
Yep, okay. Well, it goes something like this.
No, as usual, I can't see shit.
All right, don't worry, mate.
No, we can't swear, can we? We're not in After Dark.
I'll cut that out, don't worry.
Sorry. Do you want a little bleep sound effect?
Yeah.
Ooh-ah.
Oh, there you go. Right, so this is Connor's question for this week. Well, gents, another week, and that means another question for you to speculate over, in brackets or parentheses, depending on which side of the pond you're on, which we all love, by the way. So here goes. Now, episode 8 is on the horizon with two sons. It's got us thinking about the lightsaber battle, which we're bound to get. So who will it be between? So obviously we know at this point that later in the show we're going to discuss some of this more in detail. Do we expect there to be a lightsaber battle between Luke and Kylo? But this would be revenge for Han, and Jedi don't do revenge. Could it be Luke versus Snoke? I don't think Snoke is this giant that we've seen. Remember Palpacino in episode 5?
Oh.
Yeah, the big floaty head, but yeah.
Yep.
Or would it be Rey versus Kylo? Round 2, and the two of them are a lot stronger. Still loving the show, by the way, and look forward to each week seeing it show up in my playlist. From your fully clothed listeners, Connor and Leo. Superb. They're not supporters of the naked movement there, Steve.
Touché.
All right, yeah, but so let's
now
go.
Because we're recording this in After Dark and posting it back in, I've gone from being 50% clothed to almost completely naked again.
Like, no, disturbing.
I like the idea that the clothes just
looks like Snoke's head.
The clothes just dropped off and fell back on.
Yeah. I've retconned my clothes.
Like your clothes just pop back on. This is like, oh, we're going to do a bit for Talk Star Wars.
I just put a sock on.
How did that happen?
I've got the answer to his question.
Okay. Well, only because you know the end of the show.
No, I know. Nothing to do with that. I'm trying to imagine I hadn't listened to that.
Right. Okay. Well, don't pretend.
We're also assuming that turns out to be true as well.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And that
everybody's
be
reporting on it, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's true.
That's
it
true.
Could be a load of the same. Wash.
This is the thing. If you know, just because everybody's reporting it doesn't mean they could all be right, because they might all be using the same source, which turns out to be cobblers.
Yeah,
we never know.
That is true. So yeah. let's pass this around then. Do we expect Luke to fight Kylo Ren in episode 8?
Yes.
You do?
Yep.
And Rey.
Luke's
and
fight
in the same kind of scene.
Oh, really?
The other, yeah.
2-on-1? That's interesting.
No, not 2-on-1. No, I don't believe that would be the case. I believe that one will start and the other will finish, but possibly not with an injury or a beating in the middle. As part of Rey's training, Luke might encourage her to take over or something.
Hmm.
I think there'll be a fight between Luke and Kylo Ren, with Kylo Ren goading Luke. Because, like I say, I'm still kind of clinging to this idea that Luke is kind of going to be tested by Kylo Ren to try and illustrate his, you know, to try and kind of trick him into, not trick him, but to try and force him to kind of betray his brushes with the dark side.
Yeah.
I still maintain that there's going to be something to that in the film. So I reckon there might be a fight which Rey watches between Luke and Kylo, where Kylo's trying to goad Luke into reacting and trying to tap into that
just energy. Just to shake her faith in him.
To shake her faith, and also to demonstrate the dark side's power once it kicks in. Hmm. Because if Luke suddenly starts to come back more strong, then Rey might be like, Kylo might say, you see, this is what the dark side can do if you let it in and stuff like that. Maybe.
That's an interesting take.
That's my feeling. I also think Snoke's, I don't see him turning up in episode 8 in terms of a fight. I think he's being saved for episode 9.
Yeah, I'll be surprised if we see him fight, to be honest.
He's too rickety to fight.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
He's FUBAR, isn't he? He's got an arse on his head, which isn't good to start with.
That's not a great look.
It's not.
No argument there.
You know, he's very past biting, I think.
I don't expect Luke to face Snoke. In fact, I suspect that perhaps the overall arc of these of this trilogy will be potentially a redemption of Kylo, and it might follow the same template as maybe we've already seen in Jedi, and he might be the one to dispatch Snoke.
But that's
whatever
the interesting
his motivations
thing,
are.
Yeah, I've got a question. There are two, and in this particular instance, there are two and two, whereas before it was just Luke on his own. I mean, obviously, he had support from the Force Ghosts, but it's weird. It's a different dynamic this time because we've got two on each side, assuming that Rey stays light,
and that Luke
which I think
makes
she
out
will.
Of Episode 8,
which is also true.
Mm.
I've got a question for Connor to ask us for next week.
Oh, wait, what?
That's very meta.
Yeah,
Steve I Corner.
Think, yeah, no, it's for Connor. I think Steve's, you can flesh it out.
Steve's counter corner.
Go on then, Steve.
Will Luke die at the end of this trilogy?
Right, so you're asking, on this episode of Connor Corner, you're asking Connor to ask us next week if Luke is going to die.
Don't feel obliged, Connor.
I don't want to ask it.
Either I'm really tired or that's actually starting to make sense.
I think it's the former.
I think he can flesh it out as he likes, but the sort of core, the nugget, the seed of the question is surrounding Luke's possible death at the end of the trilogy.
All right, I'll frame it this way. Connor, we'd like to hear your thoughts on the above point, and if you can, if depending on how good your answer is, we might give you ours. It's like a bribery thing.
Yeah.
Something you make it, you know, you scratch our back and we'll theorize on yours.
goodness me. Right, the final point, Rey versus Kylo. I think we all expect that to be a
absolutely
thing, right? Okay, 100%. So that's a definite. Luke versus Kylo, you guys think that'll happen, I'm not so sure, and none of us think Luke will go up against Snoke in a lightsaber duel, no?
I don't think not in a lightsaber duel, even if he does turn up physically, he won't be lightsabering, he'll be more like Yoda was, whereas more sort of about the power of the Force rather than the skill with the lightsaber, and until the prequels obviously shot that out of the water.
Yeah.
I'll give Anthony that.
Yeah.
What? Another question for Connor. Last
Go
one.
On. Last it one. Will, then we're going to move on.
Is Kylo going to lop off one of her limbs?
Oh, that's a good question.
Mm.
You know, the sad thing about it is, I think, and I'm the reason I say is, I think I have the answer, and I think I know why, and I think the sad reason, there's a reasoning behind it, is sad. I think he won't. I don't think it's going to be because of the story. I think it's because they're worried they're going to get backlash from fans because they there's this minority that's very vocal that will just not accept anything bad in a story happening to a female.
Oh no, this is Star Wars. Everyone gets their limbs lopped off.
Yeah, but we've never had a female in that part before.
Well, good. We need to lop her limbs off.
Equal opportunity dismemberment.
I agree it's equality. I'm just saying there are some people who will object to that.
I don't care. Screw them. I want to see an arm come off. Mm, I won't be happy. And I can see Kylo. You can tell we've been on After Dark Side, can't you? I'm trying to hold back in here. Yeah. I can hear Kylo saying, I told you that's mine, and then lopping her arm off or hand and catching the lightsaber.
Yeah. Ooh. There's a little After Dark Side taste for you. Do you think he'll take the arm as well?
What do you mean? Like as a keepsake?
Oh, wow.
What, or a tool.
Mark, that's two After Dark Side to bring into the general.
I apologise.
You're talking about an implement, aren't you?
I absolutely refuse to take that out.
I'm going to blow this out of the water and make you feel really bad. If she turns out to be a Skywalker, you've just made that weird.
He's going to put it next to the helmet.
All right.
He's going to put it next to the helmet. Enough. And when I say that, I mean Darth Vader's helmet, not his.
Of course, that's what you mean. Who would think you
that's
didn't?
What I mean.
I'm so desperate to keep the explicit tag off of this podcast, so I'm going to draw a line under this right now.
No, Connor, fine if you're talking about Darth Vader's hat.
Connor and Leo, thank you very much for your question. Even though it was late, we have circled back. We have circled back and made the effort to get that into this week's episode for you guys.
And it is 10 to 12.
You guys are hanging off the underscore of the underside of Cloud City, and we're the Millennium Falcon. We've come back for you.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Because we heard your cries. Okay.
Yeah, seriously. Work on that.
Okay. Now we'll go back to past us, who are a little bit more lucid than current us.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Should definitely do that, though, at some point, try and get some listeners on.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That probably wouldn't be a bad idea.
Fantastic, that would be.
You know, the listeners do have the option of sending MP3s to Talk Star Wars for us to include as proper read out questions.
Absolutely.
And kind of, you know, narrating their own questions to us. So feel free.
If you fancy hearing your own voice on the podcast, send it in.
Works for me.
Indeed. Right, we've got some exciting news stories to get through. I've just scrolled down, so I've lost my place. And there we go, back smoothly where we were. Top of the list, Star Wars Celebration. So it's been confirmed that both Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill will be at Celebration in July.
That's awesome.
So I know where I'm going to be queuing up for hours on end to go and get a cuddle.
Yeah. Get some intros for the show.
Yeah.
Carrie Fisher will be up for it. She's fantastic.
Yeah.
So will Mark Hamill.
Yeah, I reckon so. I'm definitely going to try and... I have to meet them.
Yeah, just don't ask for any voice acting stuff from him for intros, because it will just emasculate me.
It will destroy you.
Because he's just so good.
I'll erase all of your After Dark Side intros and replace them with the Joker.
Fine. That's actually, you know what? I'm all right with that.
I mean, assuming that this is kind of concrete, that they are going to be in UK probably at the time. So it makes me think that their parts are considerably lengthy, that the fact that they're probably in London anyway, or Pinewood Studios. Maybe,
remember Mark was there last summer, or the summer before, and he was only in The Force Awakens for...
Wasn't he doing a lot of reading and stuff?
He was doing a lot of sitting in his trailer.
Looking bemused and slightly annoyed.
Growing a beard. A contractually obligated beard.
Right, yeah, exactly. But it'd be good that they're there. Oh, my God, I would love to. I would literally pee my pants.
Yeah, I'm going to. I'm going to have to take one of those little plastic bags that you strap to your leg.
Yeah, I've got some adult diapers here from a hangover. Not from me. They're a hangover from someone else.
That belongs in its own section. TSW, TMI, Steve.
But, yeah, I'll bring them along. We will never need to use the loo. We can just literally stand there and go...
Shuddering.
That was me weird, by the way, if you didn't know what that sound effect was.
People could have drawn a dot between those. Anyway, Force Awakens news.
Sound effect you might have heard in my background is my girlfriend coming home.
I didn't pick up on it, mate.
No, that's fine.
So, as we heard from Rob at the top of the show, I completed Star Wars Bloodline, which was fantastic, and I reached out to Claudia Gray on Twitter on Saturday morning and asked her if the character Ransom Castafo had been based on Tom Hiddleston, because that's all I was getting. I think I mentioned last week, Rob, that that's who I was seeing and hearing when that character was in the book.
Yeah, I mean, I said Benicio Del Toro at the time, but actually reading through the book further than I got at the time I said that, and also obviously without going into spoilers, that's not happening.
It turns out I may have been onto something with my Tom Hiddleston thing, because Claudia Gray responded to my tweet and said, we are of one mind. Honestly, the physical description is pretty on the nose. I'm not sure I got it from the physical description, though. I think I got it from the voice she gave him.
Yeah.
It's really well written.
It is really well written, yeah.
Really well written character.
And for those of us not sure who Claudia Gray is...
Yeah, the author of...
She is the author.
She's the author of Lost Stars, which was her first Star Wars offering, and this most recent book, Bloodline, which is incredible. It really is good. Bloodline, Steve.
This is canon, right?
This is seriously canon, locked down tight. So, slight spoilers for Bloodline, if you haven't already read it. Steve, this outlines for us that Kylo Ren didn't go to the dark side until about 6 years before The Force Awakens. during the events of this book, Ben Solo is still training with Luke.
Yeah.
And Rey is on Jakku. They don't mention Rey in the book in any way, shape or form. But
by then we know she already is.
Pablo Hidalgo said she's been on Jakku for about 5 years at that point.
So this is like having a prequel to Episode 7, isn't
it? Really good one as well. Yeah,
I might. Very good. Did you get a digital copy of that, Mark?
I got it in Kindle.
Oh, okay. Mm. I might actually download that. That sounds like
it's really good.
Yeah.
Can't recommend it enough.
Very, very good stuff. So
I'll buy that.
You can buy it on talkstarwars.co.uk/books.
Well, I'll do it from there.
Well, I think you should.
What a nice segue.
Yeah. So we've got some really exciting, mouth-watering, in fact, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story news this week. MakingStarWars.net revealed the name of some characters, including Director Krennic. So he's a director, that Ben Mendelsohn character. So the guy in the white uniform, Steve.
Yeah, walking across the water.
Yeah, the one we said looked a little bit like
Grand Admiral.
Yeah, the Grand Admiral's uniform looked a little bit like Ian McKellen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He is Director Krennic, so director of what, I wonder? The Secret Service? Is it the ISB?
The ISB, yeah, could be.
Director of the ISB?
Yeah, could be.
So we also hear that Diego Luna's character is called Captain Cassian Andor.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, we thought it was Cassian Willix about a month or so ago. So that came from Making Star Wars as well, I think, that the name Willix. So that was mistaken. But Captain Cassian Andor is presumably our male lead. Yep. Then we've got K-250, which is the Enforcer droid, played by Alan Tudyk.
That's interesting that it's an Enforcer droid, because we were kind of speculating that it might be something a bit spindly and
almost
like a protocol droid, but it actually sounds like it's more of a muscle,
like an
HK in the old Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah, it's very series. Very slender. Did you see the images?
Yes,
the images.
It looked tall, but that may have been a perspective thing.
I think it is tall, because you see it briefly behind Jin in the trailer.
Yes,
and it's kind of towering above her, but then she's quite petite, so maybe not. I really like the design of it as well, because it looks, even though it's called an Enforcer droid, it actually looks quite friendly, which is bizarre. Then we've got the character played by Jiang Wen is called Baze.
Okay.
Then we've got Bodhi Rook, played by Riz Ahmed, good British boy. I like that guy. Did you ever see Dead Set? It's a zombie show set on the...
Another one you mean?
The framework of Big Brother. It's amazing. It's really good. He's in that. He's great in it. Then we get Chirrut, played by Donnie Yen. So I guess my hope that he might be playing Kanan is out the window.
Well, you never. I mean, he might be incognito under an alias.
Yeah, it could be.
Still not dead. Still not dead in the water. But this does kind of go more towards diffusing it.
Yeah. Then we get a character called Biston, who's an alien creature, and there's another one that I hadn't put in here. It's Pau, I think.
Okay.
P-A-O. That's also an alien creature, and they look great. They look really... Mm. I mean, they're definitely Star Wars, but they're not something I've seen before. One of them looks like a fat cat. It's amazing.
Okay, nice.
There is also... All these images come from a book, which is the visual guide to Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
Okay.
And it features quite prominently Darth Vader. So he's definitely in this film.
Mm.
And it's also the Darth Vader with the low Widow's Peak brow that comes down over the top of the eyes. It was slightly different. I think I'm probably going to do a piece on the site where I look at the different designs of the Darth Vader masks to try and work out what the visual cues are for those things, because they look quite different. And yeah, I've made a note that there's also two CGI characters, which we've just discussed in the Rogues group, which they look amazing. So we also got some word on ships confirmed for Rogue One as well. So there's a new Imperial ship called a TIE Striker. It's got the wings up on the top almost. Looks like a bird of prey. It's amazing. Then there's a U-wing for the Rebels, which looks like the letter U. It's awesome looking. That's really cool. Looks like some sort of weapon out of Star Trek, actually.
Mm.
And then the AT-AT, we said those AT-ATs looked a little bit different.
Yeah.
Well, they're actually called ACTs.
Okay, I'm going to
act.
I'm going to throw a prediction out, which is that that stands for all terrain assault combat transport.
Okay.
That's my theory.
That's a good call.
I reckon the new TIE fighter, the TIE Striker, those little wings, I was just Googling that now.
Yeah.
Or any other search engines are available. I reckon those wings are for in atmosphere.
Yeah, could be.
Skimming, you know.
Yeah, if it's a strike force.
This is the one with a double cockpit, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, double cockpit, double wings, and double wings.
Oh, no, hang on.
Because I've seen two different pictures online.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm
I've
not
I've seen one with, like, a double cockpit with the wings.
If only there was a reliable online resource for you to go to. Try talkstarwars.co.uk. One of the last posts I put up were all the images and the TIE Strikers in there, Steve.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
There's a carousel. You'll be able to scroll through the images.
I have to act ignorant because then you have to explain it and it advertises the site a bit more. It's all intentional.
That excuse has been doing you wonders for years.
But I do reckon it's in atmosphere because why else would you need it?
So,
in space, you could drive around in a cube. Ask the Borg.
Not a Nissan cube, though. Not even a Borg would drive one of those. Also on MakingStarWars.net, on their podcast, they suggested that the Rogues, our group of heroes in Rogue One Star Wars Story, will know. They'll be presented with a choice. They'll know Darth Vader is in that Bacta tank trying to heal himself, so they'll know he's vulnerable. And it's a choice to either, as I've written in here, an opportunity to rid the galaxy of this evil turd. I don't know how tired I was when I wrote these notes, but they will have a choice to go and take out Vader or complete their mission. And that's going to be a point. That's going to be the situation, the Sophie's choice that they're going to have in this movie. And I think that sounds really cool.
That could be cool if they do it right.
Done it.
Yeah. Did you find the picture of the TIE Striker, Steve?
I'm just looking now. I'll chuck a link in the thing in a bit. I'm finding it hard to navigate to, but I think it's because I'm in the wrong bit.
Okay, mate. All right.
Wrong button.
Well, let's leap over to some episode 8 news then. Rian Johnson, Mark Hamill, Daisy Ridley and Adam Driver all rocked up in Northern Ireland this week for filming at a place called Malinhead, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That's where they built the Falcon on the edge of that bluff, right?
Yes.
So they all turned up there. Now, do we think they're all going to physically... I know we discussed a bit of this last week, Rob.
Mm.
Are they all going to be physically in the same place? As in, are we going to see Kylo Ren there talking to them? Or is this going to be a vision of some type?
I was thinking maybe he just misses them. So maybe he's kind of pursuing them.
Okay. Not just like...
Following the trail.
Not missing them as in, oh, it's been such a long time since I've seen you.
Yeah, not in
that
sense.
Give us a cuddle. No.
No, more in the sense of, you know, they kind of make the jump to light speed and he sort of turns up and he's kind of following their scent almost, you know.
I like that sort of thing.
It could work. I could also see them kind of actually interacting briefly. We talked a bit about how Kylo Ren might be trying to kind of cast doubts in Rey's mind about Luke's ability to kind of train her effectively without turning her to the dark side.
Yeah.
Whereas obviously with him, she knows what she's getting. That sort of, you know, that kind of better the devil you know thing.
Yeah.
I wonder if that might be a factor. So you may well see kind of some dialogue that kind of seeds that.
Mm-hmm.
Which case, obviously, it makes sense.
There's a pretty interesting story coming up in a couple of minutes about the Knights of Ren that might actually answer my question here about whether or not Kylo's going to be there physically or not. But we'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
This will make you happy, Steve. Take that star. Gary Barlow's joining Star Wars to play a stormtrooper alongside Tom Hardy.
Really? Oh, my God.
This gets weirder and weirder.
Everyone wants to be in it.
I love it. I love that they're all trying to do that. You know, all the stars are like, I want to be in it. I want to be in it. I was watching an old interview with Benedict Cumberbatch on Graham Norton. He was talking about, he was basically answering loads of quickfire questions. And he said, are you in the new Star Trek? And he said, no comment.
Yeah.
Are you in the new Star Wars? No comment. And they said, oh, but I've heard a rumor that you went to set. And he said, oh, I did. It was brilliant. I got to, you know, meet the people behind the movie and see some of the sets and stuff. And he said, weren't you tempted to kind of just pop a helmet on and play a stormtrooper? And he said, no comment. But at the time, people were thinking, oh, maybe he's in there as a stormtrooper. But, you know, everybody wants to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I can understand why. I'd love to do it. But I'm too tall, I think. Be mistaken for a Wookiee dressing up.
Yeah. Well, I got a
magician mark on that on the website.
Look good, don't they?
I mean, that TIE fighter, the only real thing is that they've moved the wings at a different angle, so it's got to be in the atmosphere. There's no other reason to have it like that.
I wonder if the wings move through two different positions.
Mm, like the S4s in attack position.
Yeah, that could be cool.
Yeah. That seems like better tech than what they have in New Hope, though.
Yeah.
Well, we've had this problem before, haven't we, with all that?
Yeah, I was thinking about it today. I was trying to explain it away, but I just think if you think about how little time we spend in the Star Wars universe between these movies, we're not really with them for very long. So we're probably just seeing a snapshot of everything that's out there. You know, I know Kyle at Tumbling Saber had an issue with the amount of different stormtroopers there are.
Yeah.
But we just haven't seen enough of the Star Wars universe. And it just makes it feel bigger and bigger the more they add in, the more variety they drop in.
Yeah.
I think the evolution of technology has stopped in the Star Wars universe. You get to a certain point where you can do everything. So what you do is you rehash everything and you have fads where things are coming out. There's no real evolution of ships. All the ships are there. I totally agree with you, Mark. We're seeing bits and bobs. Because when you look at the prequels, the ships were far more advanced when you looked at them. Like, what's her name? Carillion. Was that a Carillion ship? I can't remember now.
What, Padme's?
The Padme's ship.
Yeah, from Naboo, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you look at that, it was far more advanced than any other ship, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We've seen in the Star Wars universe. And
yeah, I know,
and that's 60 years before.
I know for George, that was him looking back to sort of the 50s when you had the big fins and the chrome and all that sort of stuff, like the Chevys that he used to drive around as a kid. And then by the time we catch up with Luke in A New Hope, you're sort of looking at the cars of the 70s, which are all these dirty little rotten things rusting to pieces because they were built to be disposable, run into the ground, and all the prestige stuff died decades before. That was his thought process, I think. Well, that Art Deco world would have rotted in the shadow of the Empire and the Sith rule, you know?
Because there is no sort of analog and digital divide in Star Wars, you know, in a timeline, is there? Sometimes you can see a nice digital display, and other times it's a red button.
Yeah.
There
doesn't seem to be any real reason to it. And I think that's right. I think there is no evolution of technology. It's just you cherry pick it out in the films as you need it.
Well, one of the things I've noticed in Bloodline is they're talking about how the different worlds have all got different requirements and different abilities and stuff, and they kind of the example they use is that there's a group of people who think that every tiny backwater moon should be equipped to take on a superstar destroyer.
Yeah.
So some worlds are going to be more affluent than others, so they're going to have better tech anyway. So I think that's pretty normal. You know, that's not unheard of in life. You know, people with more money tend to have access to cooler tech.
Yeah.
So I think maybe worlds with more wealth might have access to better tech in the Star Wars universe even.
Yeah, it is sort of an allegory of like the first world and the third world here today.
Kind of, yeah. I didn't want to take it down such a dark route, but yeah, fair enough.
Spoiler warning for episode 8 if you're anxious about being spoiled on any of these rumors, you might want to jump forward to the next section. Looks like the Knights of Ren are set to return, not retune, as I've written in the show notes, for episode 8, according to MSW.
Is it a band?
It is. It's Kyle and Corey's and James's super group that they were talking about.
The Knights of Ren.
Yeah,
Max, the Knights of Ren. Max Rebo and the Knights of Ren.
So here's a couple. Let me just run through these points, these bullet points that they put on MSW so that we can just see what we think about the things that are reported to be popping up. So we will see Luke's green lightsaber make a return. Luke Skywalker and Rey are on Arc 2 just before nightfall as the sun sets in the background and it starts to rain. this is all a description from the set. Somebody was on set looking at this scene being shot, apparently. So Ray's hair is supposedly pulled back. She doesn't have the vest on from episode 7. Luke and Ray are wearing the costumes that we've spoken about before. So Luke's black tunic and the cape that covers half of his chest and the black glove back on his hand. So at this point, Kylo Ren and the Knights of Ren turn up along the coast. Kylo Ren continues advancing towards the heroes with the Knights of Ren, but Kylo is not wearing the mask at this point.
Okay.
Kylo has the same crossguard lightsaber as he had in episode 7, which is cool, with the ragged blade, I would imagine. His costume looks the same as in episode 7 also. Rey and Kylo Ren duel one-on-one and end up fighting alongside the cliff face overlooking nighttime waters. Kylo wants revenge after Rey disgraced him in episode 7. The Knights of Ren go for... This is where it really starts to get exciting for me. The Knights of Ren go for Luke Skywalker while Rey is left with Kylo. Luke engages the Knights of Ren on the beach while Kylo attempts to kill Rey. The first Black Knight has an axe and moves towards Luke, but is force pushed away to his death after being thrown through the air. So Luke's not taking prisoners.
This went from 0 to 60 fast. Yeah.
After Luke dispatches the first knight, he ignites the green lightsaber. How cool! And this is in rain. Luke moves through. Luke moves through each knight one by one. Rey and Kylo's battle moves to the side of the cliff because, of course. Suddenly, Rey is nowhere to be seen. She's taken out of the battle. She's either wounded or appears to go over the side of the cliff. Luke casually walks towards Kylo to finish him off, but Kylo retreats when he sees Skywalker has defeated the rest of the Knights of Ren. So Luke Skywalker is a badass Jedi and he will destroy your squad. I love that. What a cool description of that little scene, eh?
That sounds pretty cool.
Where the hell did this person get all this information? I mean,
they're on set.
But they've just breached everything they're on set for.
Yeah, but I think it sounds really awesome.
Why would you risk it?
Yeah, I know. I mean, they must feel confident that they're not going to have it traced back to them, or they wouldn't go to MSW. And MSW, they're cool guys. They wouldn't use it if they felt they were going to get a source in trouble. And I'll make sure I put a spoiler warning at the top of that, so that people
because I'm not sort of happy about. I mean, I find it really interesting. I'm loving it all, but why do people do that? It's because these are real pivotal scenes.
Yeah. And fortunately for you, Steve, by lunchtime tomorrow, I will have forgotten all of it.
Plus, it's one thing. I've watched episode 7 over and over, and I'm like, that is amazing. People have got to watch this.
It's one thing to see it written down. It's quite something else to see how they shoot it. If this all holds water, which we don't necessarily know it does, there might be misdirection in here. It might be the overarching theme might be correct, but it might have subtle details that have been revised or exaggerated or even just completely invented.
I've already done the Chandler double finger click, and it's gone.
It's gone.
I remember seeing a Reddit. Sorry, Mark. Just go. I remember seeing a Reddit post. This was after Force Awakens came out, and basically somebody had sort of highlighted it as to how much the person had got completely wrong, even though they were saying, "Oh, you know, I've had a leaked copy of the script and all this stuff," and he would go through the list, and it was all just completely off the mark. Some of it was ludicrously over the top.
Yeah,
you know, I remember it. I'll see if I can dig it up. Actually, if I can still find it, it was hilarious to read after the fact. At the time, you might have been thinking, "Well, I don't want to know all this," but then you go and see the films. Like, oh, it's all rubbish. I see.
Yeah,
I'll see if I can dig it up because it's pretty entertaining.
I wonder how long this scene's going to take as well, because I think that could just be a couple of minutes on screen.
Well, it could easily be 20.
It's not going to be. Yeah, it could be. But it feels to me like it's going to be a
thing. It sounds like revenge for Han.
Almost.
I don't know. I get the impression the Knights of Ren are coming for them and not the other way around.
That's the impression I get for sure. Yeah. This could be one of those things like Mustafar, where it's edited in with other stuff.
Yeah, stuff going on elsewhere, yeah.
Yeah, Mustafar is a bad example actually, because I think that's largely focused on those two.
Yeah.
The second Death Star battle, the three sort of different storylines going on in Jedi. Yeah. Mm. On the related subject, it's a slight tangent. I read an article the other day about the new Star Wars Risk, and how it's basically nothing like Risk, but it's awesome. It's three. It's basically just playing out the three different battles from Return of the Jedi on three separate boards.
Oh, bloody hell!
And apparently, it's amazing.
Really?
It's sort of. You kind of go through a certain amount of the first bit, and then you move on to the second bit, and so on. But you play through the whole game, and the idea is that one team has to stop the other one from getting to those points. And it just sounds fantastic.
Mm.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
And when the 3 points, meaning the generator, the center of the Death Star, and what, Luke in the tower?
Yeah. So it's Luke, it's the... I think it's the shield generator, the Battle of Endor, Luke and Vader, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Luke cool. and Palpacino.
Palpacino. Yeah, you almost made me do that.
Ooh-wah.
You almost got me in there. But no, they'll have to wait for the first After Dark Side to include it.
Yeah. Right, we've got my new Snoke theory, right?
Okay.
I was reading something the other day, and I included the link to it in the email I sent to you guys earlier on today, but it wasn't required reading. I was reading this article the other day about whether or not anybody knew about Rey's origins when they made Episode 7.
Okay.
And they were loading up with bits and pieces of information, like if you listen to the music... You can hear a lot of Darth Vader's theme in Rey's theme. And I've also heard on Star Wars Oxygen, the music of John Williams, which comes out from Rebel Force Radio.
Oh, yes, I know that one.
David W. Collins broke down Rey's theme and said it's essentially Kylo Ren's theme in reverse, or vice versa.
Interesting.
So they're definitely tying those two characters together musically, thematically, and narratively, because they're on a similar... trajectory, those two characters.
We know they have form for this.
Yes.
Because obviously we know the episode one parade scene is the celebration scene is the Imperial theme in a different key.
Exactly.
Same notes. Yep. And also there was one of the reasons that the Snoke is Plagueis theory was having so much traction was because the Snoke theme is throat singing.
Yes, the
and
opera.
In episode three, the opera is throat singing, the one where Palpatine's talking about Darth Plagueis.
Exactly.
So that was one of the reasons that people thought that it was that theory gained traction was because they've done it before. They've tied things together using music in the past.
Yeah, and it being Star Wars, it could either be a really finely focused point to connect two characters, or it could just be a giant broad stroke to say these are the characters that exist on this side of the line. It doesn't mean that they're related in any way, shape, or form, but these are the villains, boo and hiss at them, and these are the heroes, cheer and clap.
And then, exactly. Yeah, Rey being Kylo Ren's theme in reverse could easily just be, Kylo Ren is one side of the coin and Rey is the opposing force. That could literally be that simple.
Exactly. And it also said in this article that there could be a connection between Rey and Snoke.
Okay.
In fact, it goes a little bit further than that and says that the two may be related.
Wow, interesting.
I think that's a bit of a stretch, but it did get me thinking. So... I think it was Saturday or Sunday, so I got quite excited because I was reading this article and I sent out a tweet saying, I've just hatched a new Snoke theory. And this morning I woke up to a message from a listener named Jonathan Morales. So, hello, Jonathan. He sent me a message saying, where's your Snoke theory? #, can't wait. So,
nice. That's awesome.
It'll go out on the show tonight. What is the connection... What if the connection between Rey and Snoke is that Snoke is a chosen one, a child of the Force from long before Anakin Skywalker? There goes my thought rapidly through my head.
Sorry, I need
Jonathan getting the hell out of Dodge.
If I knew that it would do it, before it happened, I could mute my mic, but unfortunately, I get very little warning because it's a blind corner, so they just go hurtling
that's
up
okay.
there.
I can take it out. I can take anything out of your channel of sound and not affect the overall edit at all. So, do we think Snoke could be a child of the Force before Anakin, and I've made some notes saying that maybe it's a generational event, and it could be that Snoke was a child of the Force who was seduced by the dark side, and maybe even, and these two things could be exclusive to each other. So if he isn't a child of the Force, this second part could be true. Maybe he is Plagueis's master.
Ooh.
He was a Sith Lord, and he was master to Darth Plagueis, and Plagueis learned everything from Snoke that he needed to create life and prolong life and to save the people he cared about, remember? And before he attempted to kill Snoke, his master, and assume the position of Sith Lord himself.
Okay.
And that's the damage that we're seeing to Snoke in The Force Awakens. We're seeing the Snoke done to him by Plagueis. And then Palpatine rolls in as Plagueis' apprentice, and that cycle repeats itself because that's the way the Sith live, isn't it? So that's kind of my theory, and I've broken it down here to make it easily digestible. So, is Snoke Plagueis' old Sith master? Did he survive the attempt on his life and use the dark side to prolong his life so that he could return once the Sith had fallen? So all the while Palpatine was ruling, Snoke's off somewhere watching from the sidelines, convalescing. This is something that we've hit on before.
Yes.
And now he's gotten to the point where the Sith have fallen and he's been able to consolidate his power.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen somebody behind the scenes in Claudia Gray's Bloodline, haven't we, Rob, sort of pulling the strings, and the Amaxine warriors, that militia that grows up out of nowhere, that was all put into play by somebody of great power. The lady, I forget the character's name, who's obsessed with becoming a royal. That lady that
drops Leia into... I literally just read it this morning.
Yeah, I can't remember her name. But she's clearly being motivated by somebody. I think that's all Snoke. And I think it's taken him this long to get to a position where he's got that much influence.
Okay.
He was so badly injured?
Yeah, because he was so badly injured. And because he's so powerful. Remember, Plagueis learned... If there's any truth to my theory, and Snoke was Plagueis' old Sith master, Plagueis would have learned everything he knows from Snoke, but not necessarily everything Snoke knows.
Yeah.
So if Snoke knew how to use the Force to repair himself, which takes us back to Anthony's question from earlier on, which was, will Rogue One set up things for Episode 8? This could be what we're seeing. We're seeing this at play. We're seeing a Sith Lord using the Force and the Bacta tank to repair himself. And then later on in 8, we might learn that that's what Snoke did in order to survive. So after Plagueis attempted to kill him, he used his mastery of the dark side to keep himself alive and rebuild himself. We've seen in a special feature somewhere that underneath those robes, Snoke's bendy like spaghetti, isn't he? He's a mess. His body's all contorted and twisted. And that could be that's the dark side consuming him. And it could also be that he is in a real mess because someone's tried to kill him.
Mm.
Yeah, interesting theories there.
So could this show a trend that the Sith are getting weaker in the Force generationally? Because they're so quick to off the person. They think they've got everything that they can take from the person above them.
Yeah.
That it's
they're devolving.
It's always, they're devolving, exactly. Their knowledge, their presence is diminishing because they're so quick to jettison the person above them who's got more knowledge and more power. Now, if Snoke is a chosen one, does this show Snoke's fulfilling his destiny as a chosen one by bringing balance back to the Force? Now, remember, balance is still a very fluid concept in Star Wars. Could it be that the Sith needed to rise because there's 10,000 dogmatic Jedi over that side of the Force and nobody over this side to balance things out? And then the Sith are obliterated and something needs to happen to balance that out after Palpatine's rise, after his ascension and the death of all the Jedi. So balance is a very tenuous thing within Star Wars. If Snoke's a child of the Force, is this his fulfilling of his destiny by bringing the dark side back and trying to get rid of Rey? Trying to get rid of Luke. So does Snoke value Rey because she's also a child of the Force, and his design now is to have two children of the Force ruling the galaxy as master and apprentice.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that would explain why he needs Luke out of the picture.
Yep. Because Luke's, like Steve said previously, Luke's had his trial. He's incorruptible now.
Yeah.
So the best Snoke can do is get Luke out of the way and and pit Kylo Ren against Rey and take the winner for himself.
Yeah. What did you mean earlier on about the Chosen One? You think Snoke might be another Chosen One of a previous generation?
Yeah, well, I wonder, we're accepting now that Anakin's a Chosen One. We're told, in no uncertain terms in the movie, aren't we, that he's this Vergence in the Force. We believe he was a virgin birth. It's implied by Palpatine that he was created by Plagueis. He's kind of winks at the camera, doesn't he? Plagueis knew how to manipulate the midichlorians to create life. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah. He didn't have a dad. So my theory is that the Force generates a child of the Force, somebody born the way Anakin was born, generationally, to restore balance. So if you've got 10,000 Jedi and nobody using the dark side of the Force, suddenly someone will pop up to fill that need. And I think that might have been Snoke, like a generation or so before Luke.
Right.
Before Anakin. So Snoke would have been created by the Force, and then he would have gone on to become a dark side user, but also an acolyte. You know, he's extremely studied and taught Plagueis everything he needs. And then Plagueis learnt all these things about creating life, and he goes on to create Anakin and kill Snoke straight away because he wants to assume the position. So
very interesting.
I could see that. That'd be another one that Luke could very easily kind of bring out in the exposition. You know, the prophecies tell of a chosen one who would bring balance to the Force. What they didn't say was that there was more than one.
Yeah.
That it wasn't just a single event. It was it would repeat or something like that. You just kind of learn a bit more about it.
Well, my Rey theory,
isn't real.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think outside of what we've already seen. I'm basing it on very few solid facts right now. We know that Snoke's his own thing. Pablo's told us that. We know that he isn't Plagueis because Pablo's told us that. So we're looking at Snoke being a brand new character who needs to be, his origins need to be explained within a movie. So how are you going to sit there and Luke's going to go, well, years and years ago there was a student who was Snoke and he's risen up. It's very easy to tie in Rey's origin with Anakin's origin and Snoke's origin. And I can imagine Luke talking to Rey and saying, you're the chosen one that I've been looking for. And you were hidden on Jakku so that you could live out your life free of the connections that would make it difficult to train you. You know, like the attachments that Anakin had developed in his life made him a weaker Jedi.
Okay.
But my Rey theory suggests that she was left on Jakku to rob her of attachments so that when she was finally ready to be trained, she wouldn't have that issue that Anakin had. And she was being watched over by the Church of the Force. So I imagine Luke explaining to Rey about her heritage, and that's when we're going to learn about Rey being a child of the Force, born of the Force. And then I think he'll tell her, you're not the only one. Because Anakin was a child of the Force. And this guy, Snoke, this big bad that we've been seeing, he's a child of the Force from long ago. We thought was long since dead. But he sat out the Sith rule and chose his moment to return.
Mm. Could be. It all sounds very plausible.
I've not heard anyone go down that route with it yet about who Snoke is. We all got caught in that holding pattern around Plagueis, didn't we?
Yeah.
But I think there's something to, if you step back one generation, he could be Plagueis' master.
Yeah. Yeah, it could well be. I mean, that would explain how he can be nowhere near Rogue One and still...
Because he's already done.
And yeah, they have got these open threads that they need to tie together, haven't they?
Yeah. And Plagueis... They need to do it within a movie and it not be the central point of a movie. And it's a very simple way of tying Snoke and Rey's origins together and explaining it through the prism we're already familiar with, which is Anakin. So we all know Anakin's a chosen one. If Luke says to Rey, Anakin was a chosen one, you're a chosen one. But by the way, this giant big bad guy that we're really scared of, he is a chosen one as well.
Maybe the chosen one isn't a one-off thing because a chosen one gets chosen whenever there is an imbalance in the force.
Yes.
Maybe, yeah.
And there, you know, it's not like a one, it's not like a, you know, once in a lifetime thing, you know, once in the force thing. It's once whenever you need it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then if you look at Rey as well, because this is, it's tying both characters' origins, or my theories of both characters' origins closely together now, because I was suggesting that the way Maz reacted to Rey's attraction to the crystal in the Skywalker lightsaber, I was suggesting that she immediately, Maz realised, this is the girl we've been waiting for, because that crystal called to her, the last person that crystal called to was Anakin, a child of the Force. Yeah. So now it's calling to Rey, and it's taken her on a Force vision. It's her quest to take that crystal as her own and put it in her own weapon. And so going back a couple of episodes ago where we had a listener question about Luke's lightsaber or the Skywalker lightsaber, how did it get to Maz? I wonder now whether she's the custodian of that lightsaber deliberately, and Maz might be a member of the Church of the Force. And Law Santek has been put on Jakku with the Church of the Force and told, watch over the girl. And the lightsaber goes to Luke and he says, when the person comes to find this, because the crystal will call to them, when they come for this, that's the person you need to get to me.
Yeah, maybe.
That's interesting. Yeah, I love that. I'm going to read through it later after we've finished.
Well, the Rey theory... The Rey theory I've just put up on the site this week, it's a fine-tuned version of my previous edition with the including the knowledge I've picked up from Bloodline, which it really didn't affect it that much. It was just knowing that Luke and Ben were together at the time that Rey was on Jakku altered that aspect of her development slightly, but
maybe.
I'm going to write this thing up.
Yeah, please do, because I'd like to be able to read it in more kind of, you know, what's detail. The word? More detail and, you know, a more leisurely, process it more easily.
Yeah, this is the first time I've had I'd written these bullet points down. It's the first time I've had a chance to really verbalise it, but I honestly think that there's something to this. We're so caught up with the fact that he might be a character that exists or we might see him in another movie, but I really think that he comes from a time before even Palpatine.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter.
The first... There must have been an Adam and Eve moment when there was the first Jedi and the first Sith.
Well, Rob, you can probably speak to this more intelligently than me, even though a lot of it is legends now.
Actually, no, I can't, because I'm not really very familiar with the... Because there's a Dawn of the Jedi series in Legends that deals with the first Force users, but I haven't read it. Unfortunately.
Okay.
Yeah.
But is it feasible? I mean, are we talking thousands of years before, or are we talking generations before?
Oh, we're talking thousands of years before, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah. I mean, Old Republic is, I think, 4,000 years. So we're talking a little while.
The Rule of Two is 1,000 years old when Palpatine comes into rule. The Rule of Two. I know I watched something on YouTube today where I was doing a bit of research into this whole Sith thing, and they said that the Rule of Two was introduced 1,000 years before Palpatine. So that would have been Darth Bane.
Bane was originally the introducer of the Rule of Two, and he is canon from Clone Wars.
He is. So 1,000 years before Phantom Menace, the Sith were a warring group of people, and Bane said, this exists amongst two people. So that's been in place for 1,000 years. I don't think they'd go that far back with Snoke, but they could, because we've got a 1,000-year-old character in Star Wars now with Maz. And Yoda was
900. Maz Kanata.
She's 1,000 years old, yeah.
Is she really?
Well, she ran the place for 1,000 years.
Wow. Yeah. So, what, that the temple?
Yeah, well, the castle thing.
The castle, yeah.
So she's 1,000 years old. So there's no reason why we don't have to put any constraints on Snoke's age in any way, shape, or form. Plus, mm-hmm. he's using the dark side to prolong his life, because that's one of the skills that Palpatine was celebrating when he was telling the story of Darth Plagueis the Wise.
Yeah. Except and that Plagueis, he looks humanoid to me.
But Snoke. Yeah, he is an alien, and he's supposed to be sort of 7 feet tall. That was from Neil Scanlan, the creature guy. That came out at the end of last year. So he is a bigger character than a regular human, and he's pretty messed up as well. So it's going to be hard to pin him down as... So it could be just a subtle difference. Like most of the aliens in Star Wars are just a subtle variation on humanoid, aren't they? With like the Twi'leks with their long leku and things like that. So who knows? He could be an alien. He uses the Force to prolong his life. He certainly used the Force to bring himself back from whatever caused that damage to his head. So my money, I'm staking my whatever my reputation is on this. Snoke is Plagueis' old master, and Plagueis tried to kill him, and he used the Force to keep himself alive, prolong his life through the Sith rule. Once the Sith were destroyed, he chose his moment to start to
rebuild
his legacy, and the First Order grew out of all the machinations. Now, remember, he's revealed himself publicly because Leia and Han refer to him as Snoke in The Force Awakens.
So yeah, this is one thing I was thinking,
Somewhere in that
And who was Palpatine's master?
Plagueis.
Plagueis was Palpatine, definitely. Yeah. We know that from...
Definitely, that came out in a tweet from Pablo Hidalgo recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Plagueis is dead. He was killed by...
By Snoke, Palpatine. We think. Oh, no, killed...
Plagueis was killed by Palpatine.
Oh, sorry. But Snoke possibly fought him because he rose up against Snoke and got his injury.
Yes, that's... Yeah, that, I think that's Plagueis. Plagueis as they tried all to do. Kill Snoke. Yeah, as they all do, the way
well, that maybe that's just a blip. Because the Force has been around for potentially millions of years... Maybe this, you know, this whippersnapper uprising thing from your Padawan equivalent, or what else to say, is kind of a new thing, and it's not been in the dark side before, and they're having to deal with it. And it's a phase rather than how it's always meant to be.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, it could be.
You know, and it's kind of a blip in the whole sequence of how the dark side training works.
Yeah,
and they're trying to get their own balance from this. I quite like the dark side. I think I'll go dark side when I'm a Jedi. I just ask a couple.
Interesting. We'll have when to rescue you
when you're a Jedi.
Yeah,
well, it's not happening.
I also think this poses quite an interesting question about Rey's destiny in these stories, because if we've introduced Snoke as the first chosen one, and then we know that Anakin is our next chosen one. If she's our third, where's she going to go?
I'm thinking I stick by my original theory that the whole, you know, the whole thing will be about trying to kind of dangle her on the precipice and see which way she falls.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely the case.
Yeah, I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I like the angles, though.
Yeah, I'm going to write that up this week. That'll be this week's Star Wars Insights, I think, looking at... Cool. Who he could be, and pitching it out there to see, see who agrees with me. So, if you're listening to this on Monday, the chances are head over to talkstars.co.uk and there will be a Star Wars Insights on there about my new Snoke theory.
Okay.
Anything else we want to throw in here before we wrap this up?
I've got a really quick one to add, actually. This is like instant. This is happening. I've seen this happen today, right? So this is, you know, up to date as we can possibly get with the Star Wars news, given the way we record. There is a picture or a video doing the rounds which claims to have leaked the Episode 8 title.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So here's a question, right? Because I'm trying to work out if it's Cobblers. Is Celebration in any form going on right now?
No.
No.
No, that's what I thought, right? So allegedly... so the, let me find the original. There's a I found it on a Facebook page, but I'm gonna go to Reddit because that's where I find most of my stuff. Right, so Celebration is supposedly, it looks like some sort of poster frame from Celebration Europe.
Okay.
And so this is kind of going to be vague spoilers if true. So it's got the usual caveat. If it's true, the title for episode 8 will be All of the Resistance.
So too much of a giveaway.
Well, you say that Empire Strikes Back is a giveaway.
Yeah, but the Empire Striking Back is a bit more ambiguous than the Fall of the Resistance.
That's true.
Yeah.
They're putting I still like the Dark Side Rises.
Hmm.
Yeah. There's one on Slash Film that says The Rise of the First Order.
Yeah. I don't know. That one seems too long-winded.
Plus, we've had
the Rise of the First Order in Bloodline.
Yeah. I'm still wondering when they're going to bring a bloody trailer out for Rogue One, full-on trailer.
Yeah, too right. I mean,
we're coming down to it now, in the words of...
Celebration, mate. There'll be a full one at Celebration.
That sounds totally plausible to me. I mean, they did one at Celebration before for Episode 7, right? They did the second teaser.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
The one that made everyone cry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That will... I think that'll almost certainly happen. Yeah.
Another bit of Star Wars stroke Avatar news. We do like to slip onto Avatar occasionally. You know, those of you in the know will know Avatar moved from, 15 to 16, then 16 to 17. I think now it's 17 to 18 because James Cameron said, look, I do not want to go up against Star Wars, and I should imagine they feel the same way.
Right, yeah. So we're 18. Yeah, 18 at Christmas. That Han Solo has moved to May in 2018, so that seems like a safe place for Avatar now.
And I wonder if they've actually been in communication about this.
Could well be. Yeah,
I mean, they don't want to cannibalise each other's audiences, do they?
Yeah, exactly. No. So, I mean, in fact, I was reading, if Avatar 2 makes half of what Avatar made, it would be number 5 all-time top films.
Yeah.
Grossing films. So they've got survive. A safe bet. Yeah, because he's writing them all and also filming all of the mocap and everything in advance for all 4 films.
That's mad. What a workload. That's ridiculous.
It's kind of, the trouble is people are concerned that, this is really after Dark Side stuff, but the people are concerned, and I kind of get it, that if they're doing all that side now, how much tech stuff is going on now? And will it mean that by 2023, when the last one comes out,
it's dated?
And I'm not sure. I think the mocap thing is probably safe to do any time because I don't think the tech will move on that much for mocap.
No, once they've got all the data from the actors in their performance capture suits, they can apply the animation to it and render it all later, can't they? Yeah. It's just using the architecture that's already in place. But...
Yeah, interesting though.
Right, let's wrap this one up then. So, thank you for listening to Talk Star Wars again this week. If you'd like to support what we do here, then head over to talkstarwars.co.uk/support, where you can become a TSW sponsor by giving as little as £1 per month securely via PayPal. Failing that, you can support us by just simply liking and following us on our varied social networks, including Facebook and Twitter. Guys, where can people find you between shows this week?
Go on, you go first, Rob.
All right, mate. I'm on Twitter at Rob Wade Vision. That's my Twitter where I do most of my posting. I also have a blog which I run with a couple of friends called Emotionally 14. There's I tweet out about it all the time. There's also a YouTube page, a Facebook page, a written blog that occasionally puts some stuff up there. Most of it's kind of a central hub for all the stuff that I do. And obviously, Talk Star Wars.
I'm on YouTube only, but I run a channel on there called Calistine, C-A-L-A-S-T-E-I-N, Calistine. And if you guys can subscribe and like the videos, it all goes to charity to preserve and save the rainforest, which is vital if we want to breathe while we're watching Star Wars.
Indeed. You can also find all those links in the description to this podcast that take you to our landing page where all our contact details are, including those YouTube channels. Don't forget to leave us a nice review on iTunes. And if you haven't done so already, if you have, why not leave another one? Thanks again, and we will see you guys next week.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap.